our fellowship in Isaiah chapter 40 this morning. I think after the first meeting, we're all very comforted, encouraged, because Christ is our consolation. He is our unique encouragement and comfort, and He is comforting God's people. So we continue to read some verses here again in Isaiah chapter 40. Let's read verses 3 to 5 again. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Yeah. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Amen. So, prior to the Lord's first coming, Isaiah was this voice. And he was prophesying of John the Baptist. He is to come. And so, these verses are very good. There is one crying in the wilderness. Wilderness is really a good description of God's people at the time of the Lord's first coming. Wilderness means there is no life. It's dry. Nothing is fruitful. There's no water. There is no sign of growth. And this is really the condition of among God's people today. And what was prophesied in those days apply not only for the Lord's first coming, but very much is our situation today. When we look around among all the Christians today, it looks like a wilderness in the eyes of the Lord. Where is the life for God's people? Where are those who are preparing for the Lord's second coming? No one even knows that they need to be prepared. This is what happens to us when we are sharing with our friends, colleagues, oh, the Lord is coming, and they're saying, oh, very good. Then I will very much like to be raptured and go to heaven. No one recognizes that there is some preparation that needs to be done. So the verse says, prepare the way of the Lord. Amen. Today, we as God's people, we need to know how to prepare the way of the Lord. Right? First is to make straight in the desert a highway for our God. The reason is all the roads at that time were not straight. They're like this, zigzagged. And as it's shared here, they're crooked. Right? So this is why it's very important the Lord needs to have in the desert a highway for our God. Yeah, I very much enjoy this song that's written. It's very timely for our conference. We need this highway of holiness. Yes, this is really for our Lord to accomplish His purpose. And it says, every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. It's really important these days that there will be no up and downs. All the valleys needs to be exalted and every mountain needs to be brought low. If you are in a valley situation, be encouraged. The Lord will bring you up. But if you are exalting yourself, be careful. The Lord will bring you low. Yeah. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. Right? A picture is worth more than 1,000 words to describe the situation among God's people. Crooked places shall be made straight. God's people, especially the established system of religion, the tradition was very, very crooked. And if we look at the situation today, it's worse, I would say. Yeah. It's very crooked and it's very rough. And there's no way during this type of situation the Lord could come. But it says, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Amen. Yes, Isaiah's words very much resounds with us today, because this is very much our situation. There are some sister verses from Isaiah in chapter 62. We could also turn to it, verses 10 and 11. Isaiah 62, verses 10 and 11. It says, go through the gates, prepare the way for the people, build up the highway, take out the stones, lift up a banner for the peoples. Indeed, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the world, say to the daughters of Zion, surely your salvation is coming. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Amen. It's very encouraging. We need to prepare the way of the Lord, and we need to build up the highway. Amen. Sometimes I take it for granted the highway is already there. I just have to go walk on it. But it says, build up the highway. So there are work for us to do. And we need to do this. We need to take out the stones, and then we need to lift up a banner for the people, preparing the way of the Lord. Yeah. The first coming of the Lord, he is the Messiah, the King. Right? And when a very important person comes, he doesn't just show up at your door and rings the doorbell, here I am. There are some announcements, some proclamation, and then there is a forerunner that will come before and will tell you, Mr. VIP, so-and-so will be coming next year or 6 months. You need to get your things ready, right? He will come. And such is John the Baptist. John the Baptist is a forerunner of our Lord. Yeah. It's wonderful. We all need to be the forerunners of the Lord. We need to prepare the way of the Lord. This word very much applies to us today because the Lord is coming again the second time, right? And he needs some to be the voice in the wilderness to announce his coming, right? Otherwise, he just shows up. Oh my goodness, wow. We need to be those who prepare because the Lord has made it clear to us many signs, right? Signs of the time, signs of the seasons We are now very clear. Time is at hand. So we need to be those who go forth in the wilderness and speak for the Lord. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Amen. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Amen. The message of John the Baptist is very simple and clear. It is firstly, repent. Right? Repent means you're going the wrong way. You need to turn around. Right? You are going astray. And you need to turn around and repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John the Baptist is preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Right? This is a very important gospel that the Lord needs to recover today. And he was qualified to do this because he was outside of the traditional religious system at the time. There were all the establishment with the high priests, the Pharisees, the scribes. All of them were crooked. All of them were blind. None of them knew that the Lord was coming, even though Isaiah had prophesied already so clearly. The people of God have no more ear for the speaking of the Lord, it seems. And so the Lord needs to raise up someone outside of the traditional established religion to speak for him. And so we need to be like those, right? Today, God's purpose is not with the mainstream Christianity. Sorry to say, it's very clear. They are for themselves. They are making themselves richer every day. And it's getting worse. Right? Once you are in that trap, you cannot get out of it. Right? And so we need to be the voice of the Lord crying in the wilderness. In Luke chapter 3, again, verse 4, I'll just read them to you. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough ways smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. And then in verse 7, John the Baptist says, then he said to the multitude that came out to be baptized by him, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? This is not a nice message. John the Baptist was not going to be nice. Yeah. He is speaking the truth, right? He is speaking exactly what the Lord told him to say, right? And he was not playing politics. He wasn't going to send out nice greetings. He calls them as it is, brood of vipers. And the Lord said exactly the same thing when he came. Right? Vipers are snakes, right? And we all know who the first one was, right? And this big one produced many children called a brood of vipers. He is speaking to the religious people at the time. This is a very serious word. But John the Baptist was bold and fearless, and his message is loud and clear. Today, we need to do the same thing, right? Don't be afraid of men, but speak the truth, right? Yes, men may not like it, but the truth is the truth. It needs to be spoken. We need to learn to blow the trumpet, right? The trumpet is not a soft instrument. I used to play it in the marching band. You know, in the marching band, it's a very loud instrument. And, of course, if you don't blow it properly, it just comes out as noise. But if you blow it clearly, then it's very loud, and it makes an announcement, right? Today, the gospel of the kingdom needs to be preached, and we need to be the corporate John the Baptist. Amen. Yeah, may the Lord help us, right? I appreciate John the Baptist says, I must decrease and he must increase. Yeah. He realized his day will be coming to an end soon. He's a nobody. He's just a voice, right? Today, let us not try to seek to be somebody. If you want to be somebody, the Lord will chop off your head like he did. That's right, and you will lose your voice. Yeah. Yes. Today, we need to really take the Lord. Yeah. Deal with the flesh. Deal with our half-brother and really take Christ and live by the Spirit, right? And it's if only those who are willing to do this, to lose our soul life for his sake, we will be qualified to preach this gospel and be the voice in the wilderness for the Lord, right? So may the Lord help us. Amen. Today, we are the church, right? And the function of the churches today is also to proclaim the second coming of the Lord, right? So today, there's not just one John the Baptist. There's the corporate John the Baptist. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, and we need to preach this message. We see this in the New Testament, in Acts chapter 2. Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost with the 11, raised his voice, this is verse 14, and said to them, Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. Amen. Now remember, this is the same Peter, last night we heard, who denied the Lord three times in front of a little maid. But just a few chapters later in the book of Acts, he was changed. He was ready, right? He repented, and the Lord had mercy on him. And here, he was filled with the Spirit. Yes. So, we are all qualified to do this. If we are willing, right? We don't have to be eloquent. We don't have to be gifted. We just have to have a willingness to cooperate with the Lord. Peter was not a trained professional. He was a fisherman. He talks to the fish. But here in the book of Acts, chapter 2, he was speaking the word of God with boldness. Right? And all those who heard it, it says they were cut to their heart. Right? And they asked him, what shall we do? So in one day, 3,000 souls were baptized and added to the church. Yeah, we need to learn this. Right? This is our example. In verse 40 of Acts 2, it says, "And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation." Yeah, remember this word, perverse generation. "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." Praise the Lord. Yeah. Today, we realize the Lord still has many seeking ones, ones that he has prepared. They are trapped in the system of religion. They need to hear this voice. They need to hear this voice in the wilderness. And we need to be that voice for the Lord to speak the truth, right? In Revelation, the voice is, "Come out of her, my people." Because these are the Lord's people, his dear people. The Lord has paid a high price for them not to be trapped and die in the system of Babylon, but to be rescued, to come out of her. And we need to sound out this call. May the Lord use us. Yeah. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, I'll just read it to you. It says that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Yes. Here, Paul is speaking the same thing, right? We are in the midst of a terrible situation, but in spite of it, the Lord can use us, right? The situation among God's people today can very much be summarized by these two words. First, crooked, and second, perverse. Yeah. It's not any straighter today. In fact, it's much more crooked. Crooked in a subtle way. And many are twisting the gospel, using it for their own gain. This is very abominable in the eyes of the Lord. And he will judge. Yeah, he will judge. In Acts chapter 20, verse 29 and 30, Acts 20, 29 and 30, it says, "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking," again, "perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves." This really is our situation today. Yeah. And this has also been our experience these past 40 years, 50 years. The Lord needs to expose all these hidden things of darkness and cause his people to rise up and come out. There are crooked pastors speaking perverse things to draw away God's people. This is the opposite of the voice in the wilderness. And many are blind, and they are some afraid, intimidated, and under some kind of a superstition that if they leave, somehow something bad will happen to them. This is terrible. They are living under fear in a wrong way. They need to be rescued, right? I know this because I was there before. The Lord have mercy on me and rescue me. And this is our experience. May we sound out this voice of the Lord. Amen. Yeah, all the apostles, they all preach the gospel of the kingdom, just like John the Baptist. I'll just read you some verses in Acts chapter 14, verse 22. This is speaking of Paul strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. Yes, entering into the kingdom of God is not a smooth sailing. And Paul was preaching the truth, right? There will be many tribulations, but the tribulations are for our perfecting, right? Remember, no suffering, no glory, right? This is a wonderful word of encouragement for us. We will enter into the kingdom of God. Even James, in the book of James, chapter 2, verse 5 says, listen, my beloved children, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he promised to those who love him? Amen. And Peter, of course, in 2 Peter 1:11 says, So an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, and of course, finally, John in Revelation, right? And we are all very clear in chapter 1, verse 6, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And verse 9, I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. Amen. Was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. So today, our message is the same, right? The kingdom, right? Zion. The Lord desires his city, and he wants to rule and reign here on the earth. So we just read that we will be kings and priests. And now that we know we will be priests, then we need to know how to be prepared to be the priests, right? Are you all priests? I hope so, right? We are all called by the Lord to be priests. And so for this, we need to know how to be prepared. And one of the preparation for the way of the Lord and for his second coming is that we need to be his priests. So we need to know how to prepare the holy and royal priesthood. This is very important. And weekly, daily, we have been helped to do this. And we really need to apply this. This is part of the preparation for the Lord's coming. We need to know how to keep the feasts, all seven of them, right? From the Feast of the Passover all the way to the Feast of the Tabernacle. Let us keep them. Amen. Keep them every day. Amen. Yeah. And we need to know how to prepare the offerings, including the wave offering, the heave offering, and also the drink offering that was poured out for God, right? And when it comes to the offerings, don't be general. It was good. We've been helped. Don't just say, oh, I take Christ as all my offerings. That's too easy. Be specific, right? Just like the song says, we are done with generality. Be specific for reality, right? Is the more specific, the better. We need to challenge the Lord. Lord, this week, give me some specific experiences of you that I can bring as an offering to the Father. My, if we would have every day just one experience, we would have seven experiences. Then we choose the best one, right? And bring it to the Father. Yeah. Remember, the feasts are prepared by God, right? For our, I don't want to say enjoyment, but for our supply, right? And for our experience, right? This is very good, right? And the offerings, on the other hand, are prepared by us for God's satisfaction. We need to do this. This is the holy and royal priesthood. This is very important for the coming of the Lord as a way of preparation, right? Just as important as is sounding out the gospel of the kingdom, being a voice in the wilderness, we all need to learn how to prepare the feasts and the offerings for the Lord. Amen. And lastly, I just have this point in Isaiah 40, verse 6 to 8. The voice said, "Cry out." And he said, "What shall I cry?" And the answer was, "All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flowers fades, but the word of our God stands forever." Amen. Yeah, this is very good. We read these verses in the first meeting, and I just want to emphasize this. We all need to have a realization today that the people are grass. That means me and you. Right? The best we can be is grass. Without the Lord, without the Lord's purpose, without his kingdom, we are just nothing. So temporary, right? We are grown to be mold. That's it, right? Nothing produces nothing. The grass withers, the flowers fades, right? But the word of our God stands forever. Amen. Yeah, this is very good. And I'm glad Mucham brought up these verses also in 1 Peter chapter 1. Because Peter obviously read Isaiah very clearly and carefully. Yes. And so we read these verses, and it says at the end, 1 Peter 1:23 to 25 at the end, "But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you." Amen. Yes. This word, I believe, is not just for the unbelievers, although it's good, but it's also for us. I think it's also a very good word for all of our young people. Today, the world is very attractive, and we all like to seek things that we don't have. All these things are, in the eyes of the Lord, like grass and like flowers. We like to make ourselves look pretty, but it can only last for a few years. After that, all the flowers will fade. Right? We like to gather things, but all these things are so temporary, and we cannot bring anything with us when the Lord comes. In fact, they will weigh us down. And that's why in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, the Apostle John says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." So encouraging. Today we have a choice. whether we take the world or we take God's will, right? And it's for you to choose, just like the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which is so pleasing to the eyes, the lusts of the eyes, the lusts of the flesh, and the pride of life. Yeah. Let's choose properly, right? Choose the things that will abide forever. Yes. This book of Isaiah was written some 750 years ago before the Lord's first coming. And then it was fulfilled, every verse. Today, 2,000 years later, when we read these verses from Isaiah, we feel like it's meant for us, because it is. Because the word of the Lord abides forever, right? It applies back then and very much applies to us today. And it will apply in the ages to come. May we hold on to God's word. Yeah, and may we be prepared for the Lord's second coming. Amen.
Spirit of counsel and might.
Amen.
Yes, that we may have wisdom from above to really be yes. This corporate John.
Even memorize it. Or maybe we sing the whole song.
Yeah.
You know, before we sing this song, I'd just like to mention something. Encourage all of us. We are truly living at the age of what our brother is sharing right now, the age of the coming of the Lord. Even politically in this country, the Lord needed someone to be out of the establishment.
Yeah. Right.
Hey, no one in the establishment could really make the crooked way straight. No. It's impossible.
Yeah.
And you have to realize that this is God's wisdom. This is God's wisdom. We are talking about us here, about Isaiah, about John the Baptist coming in the power and in the spirit of Elijah to make straight the crooked ways and smooth, right? Make smooth the rough places and perverse. Today, the whole society, the whole nation is perverse. Not only crooked, evil. And you see a lot of serpents running around. Vipers, brood of vipers. I don't think we need to really say it so clearly, right? But hey, this is right before our eyes. Now you tell me who can make this crooked place straight. It must be somebody out of the establishment, never before involved in the politics, right? Otherwise, how are you going to do it? And he was not afraid to say crooked so-and-so and lying so-and-so. And wow, and he says he is here to drain the swamp. And he's going to make this country great again. And he's going to do so many things there. And all these crooked people are afraid of him. And he spoke the truth. And he's not afraid, like John the Baptist. Well, even the world needs a John the Baptist. And you were talking about, well, come out of the mainstream religion. Now you have the mainstream media, which is just full of lies. Like you mentioned, fake news, everything is crooked, None of them are telling the truth. In darkness, it is a wilderness. As our brother was mentioning, as Isaiah was saying, John the Baptist. Right? So, the age is ripe for the Lord's coming. And if the world is like this, don't think that religion is in a better shape. Today you have so many crooked things in. It's really terrible. It's really terrible. It is Babylon. Mixture, corrupt, spiritual fornication, idolatry, right? Drunken with the blood of the saints. So much corruption and crookedness, spiritual perversity. Well, you think the Lord doesn't need a corporate John the Baptist. In chapter 14, it says, Zion is a place where the good news will be preached. The glad tidings, not just from one man's voice, but out of Zion.
Amen.
And this is what the Lord is doing today. We must be this corporate voice. So the gospel today and this voice is not preached by only one man, but it must be preached by
everyone.
I really appreciate the Lord training us, every one of us, brothers or sisters at work, to the relatives, praise the Lord, all of your friends. Even Mercy is blowing the trumpet and she's learning how to blow the trumpet. It's not easy. Right? I've never blown a trumpet. If you give me a trumpet, it's going to go. It's not going to work because I've never blown it. I have to learn how to blow it and then really make the music out of it. So may the Lord train all of us today. It is very necessary. You have to see this. And tonight, our brother is going to show us somebody at that time in the King Cyrus, right? And today, the Lord needs another King Cyrus. It's your job. He's the best one.
The best voice.
Most qualified. Convince us of the present-day Cyrus. But hey, there must be a present-day John the Baptist. Why I'm saying this is to convince you that the whole world needs this kind of a change to prepare for what's coming. And we need to see this. Otherwise, who is going to tell people this? So, our president today was the political John the Baptist. Is the present day Cyrus. At least we can say he is very much like the present day Cyrus.
Right.
And I hope he really is.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. May the Lord have mercy on us. Now let's sing this song.
Amen.